Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and colorful writing instruments. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word.
It's good to be back with you today after a short break last week. I've only been podcasting for a few weeks. I was surprised at how much I missed recording last week. I am still suffering from a little bit of a cold. Thanks for those who have sent me notes and let me know you've been praying for me. And I'm a little bit better today, so we're going to give this a go and try to get a podcast out for this week. I'm excited about what I'm going to talk about this week and next week. As I say in my introduction and as the people who know me would attest to, I get really excited when I talk about Bible study, quiet time, prayer, spending time with God. It's something that really fires me up and gets me excited. So I'm looking forward to talking about that today. I'm going to be, during today's podcast, sharing with you a little bit about how I do my quiet time. And then next week I'm going to give you some do's and don'ts for establishing or enhancing your own quiet time. I do this today kind of sharing my process with you, not because I think it's the best or because I think it's something you should do, but I do think it's the best for me and it's something that has worked for me personally. Something I hope that I'll be able to get across in any podcast that I talk about these issues of quiet time and Bible study is that it really needs to reflect your own style, your own personality, your own schedule, and your own season of life. So while I'm going to share today what I do, realize that I haven't always done this, that I've changed this up various times throughout my life just to fit the season of life I was in or the amount of time I had at the moment or what my schedule was like at any given point of time. But also keep in mind that it's encouraging, I think, for us to talk about these things, because far too often we get into a very legalistic mindset where we think it has to be a certain way, we have to include certain things, and I feel like it's a little bit refreshing to talk to people and see where they're experiencing real growth in their quiet time and hearing that, you know, maybe it's a little different than what I do, and I love those stories, so I hope this is an encouragement for you. I also hope that this week's podcast and next week's will also be a bit of a relief for you, allow you to kind of just take a deep breath and maybe reset if you've been struggling with this area, maybe just give it a fresh start and put aside some of those assumptions of things you have to do or a certain way it has to be and just craft something, a time with God that really suits who you are and where you are right now in life. Now, where I am in life right now is I work for a church, so I do spend a lot of time studying the Bible in depth for various Bible studies or things I'm writing or articles I'm working on or things like that. So I do, during my course of my job, my work day, I spend a good bit of time in God's Word. But I've also found that it's important for me personally to have something that has nothing to do with women's ministry or education classes or kids' education or any of those things. It's just for me and God, just a time when God speaks to me about topics that I feel He's drawing me to. I've experienced firsthand that if I am not spending time in God's Word and God is not building into my life, I have very little to give to anyone else. And I have nothing fresh or new to be able to pass on as an encouragement or an inspiration or a challenge to others. So I like to spend some time in God's Word and in prayer every morning as a way to receive some inspiration and direction myself and then be able to pass those things on to someone else, maybe that day or maybe months down the road. Hopefully, over the next few months, some of those things will come through some podcasts, and I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about some things that God might be teaching me. I have found personally that the morning works best for me. We're going to talk in next week's podcast about the dynamics of time and how that works with spending time with God. But just personally, right now at this season of my life, I have a lot of meetings at night. I get home later in the evenings than I
than I'm used to doing in previous years. So for me to come home and try to get it done at night is almost impossible. My days are very sporadic as far as the schedule is concerned. I have a basic schedule I try to stick to, but my life is also in a lot of upheaval during the days. I am oftentimes trying to work with other people's schedules, trying to accommodate different people. I meet a lot with people, so often I have to be very flexible and move things around. And I just find that if I don't get up in the morning and do it before I face my day, it doesn't get done. And there have been times when I've been very successful with an evening quiet time, but this period of my life is not one of them. I also am not real good with first thing in the morning. I'm not a morning person. I need to wake up a little bit. And I'm not really good with doing it in my house because there's a lot that needs to be done here. At any given moment, there's dishes that should be put away from the dishwasher and laundry that needs to be done. And there's a stack of paperwork that I need to go through and bills that need to be paid. And I need to change the sheets on my bed and all these things that you deal with on a daily basis too. And I find that when I'm at home, I'm such a task-oriented person that it's hard for me to not jump into other things and to really focus on this time with God when there's all these other things that are clamoring for my attention. It's also why I don't find a lot of luck in my office. There are a lot of people who will go to their office a little bit early in the morning and they'll do their quiet time there before a lot of people come in. That doesn't work so well for me either. People are in and out of the building at strange times, so it's hard to guarantee that I would have a few moments without anyone there and without any distractions. And in addition, there's even more work that's piling up there that needs to get done. So I don't generally concentrate well on quiet time when there's a lot of tasks around. So for me personally, trial and error, I've learned that the best thing to do is to go to a third place. Find some place where there's no responsibilities for me. I also like a little bit of noise. I don't like, you know, people talking, having a conversation right next to me kind of noise or incredibly loud music. But I do like background noise and a little bit of a hum, so to speak, of things going on behind me. So I like coffee shops because the sound of the espresso machines and the cash register and the conversation kind of going on as a whole throughout the entire coffee shop kind of creates a little bit of background noise that helps me concentrate better. It smells amazing in there, which is another plus for me. I really love coffee, and there's nothing there that I have to do. I'm not responsible for anything. So coffee shops usually meet my criteria. So I take my quiet time binder, my Bible study notebook, my Bible, and a big bag of colored pens, and I head to the nearest Starbucks usually. When I get there, I get all my stuff set out on my table, and before I jump into anything else, I usually start with a quick word of prayer. This is not a heavy prayer. This isn't, you know, bless my day and that kind of thing, or praying through a list of requests. This is an acknowledgement that I am meeting with the Creator of the universe and that I'm not checking a task off my list. I don't do quiet time because I've been told I have to do it. I do it because I want to meet with God. In the book of Genesis, it tells us in the beginning chapters, chapter 3 specifically, that it was the custom of God to come down to the garden and to walk in the evenings with Adam and Eve. He wanted their companionship. And I believe that God wants the same of us. He wants our companionship. He wants us to tell him about our day, about the things we're worried about. He wants us to spend a few moments hearing from him and what he would speak into our lives. And it's really easy when you hear sermon after sermon after sermon, and you listen to podcasts and you read books, and they all tell you the same thing. You need to be spending time in the Bible. You need to be spending time with God in a quiet time. You need to be making sure you get your daily devotions done. You need to read your Bible. You need to pray. When you have people telling you that over and over and over again, it's easy to look at this as a task. But it's not a task. It's an opportunity. And God is waiting for you. He is waiting for you to put aside all the craziness of your life and sit down for a few moments in his company. And that initial prayer is oftentimes very lighthearted. I will often say, you know, good morning, God, let's get started. Or I hope you got something great for me today. I slept really great. Thank you for a good night's sleep. Let's get started. I do that. It's oftentimes a sentence or two. It's meant almost as a greeting, as if someone would be coming into the coffee shop to meet with me and chat for a while. That's kind of how I approach it. It is not meant to derive any certain benefit. I don't feel it's mystical that God comes and sits down at the table across from me when I'm doing that. It's more my reminder. It is the way that I remember that I'm sitting down with the Creator of heaven and earth, who wants to build a relationship with me and who wants to have communion with me. And so that's how I begin. And then when that's done, I dig into my binder. I have an 8.5 by 11 3-ring binder that I have 8 tabs in, and that kind of guides me through my quiet time. I'm going to go through these. I'm hoping to just take a few minutes to explain a few things about these. But I start with tab number 2. And for those of you that like to do things decently and in order, we will come back to tab number 1, but I'm going to start at 2 because that's kind of where I start my prayer time. I open up tab number 2, and that is my thankfulness tab. And I write down what I'm thankful for. Being thankful and having an attitude of gratitude, as they say, is one of those things that is very trendy at times. And I want to do a podcast. I have some things I want to talk about when it comes to thankfulness and gratitude. So I'm hoping to cover that more in depth in a later podcast later this fall. But I think it's important for a lot of reasons to make sure that you're acknowledging that the good things in your life that come to you come from the hand of God. And I believe more than anything else, the reason that many times we're so dissatisfied with our lives, we're so restless, we're so grasping for that next big thing that's going to make us happy, is because we fail to acknowledge that all the good things we have right now are gifts from a loving Father. So it's important to thank God. And I think every time we meet with God in a time of communion, we should tell him how great he is. We should tell him how much we appreciate him for the things he does for us and for the kind of God that he is, a God that can be trusted, a God that we can rely on because we know he'll keep his promises, a God who listens. So I start with thankfulness. Now, usually in the mornings, I'm thankful for things I'm looking forward to. A lot of times it's, you know, I'm thankful that today's Friday, or I'm thankful that I'm going to be able to pick my nephew up after school and have dinner with him tonight, or I'm thankful that, you know, I have a staff meeting today, and I'm so excited for the people I work with. Thank you so much for them, Lord. And those kinds of things go in thankfulness. But I also tend to write in the evening and write about the things about my day that surprised me. I'm very thankful for a friend dropping by unannounced and hanging out with me for a little while. Or I'm thankful for a text I got from my brother that was really sweet and encouraged me today. So usually my thankfulness in the morning is looking forward and my thankfulness in the evening is looking back. I also have a tab, number 3, that's intercession. This is any needs that I know of, people that need prayed for. It is also where I list more world concerns and government issues. Some people have a separate little section for that. I am not incredibly politically minded. I do pray for our leaders. I do pray for concerns in the world. But I have to be honest and say that I don't pray over every, you know, local politician or those kinds of things. I have some general prayers I pray for leadership and authority. I have some specific people in politics and government that I do pray for. I pray for our military. I pray for world concerns like the Ebola crisis going on right now and the problems with ISIS in Syria and Iraq. And I have some bigger things like that that I put on the list. And then also a lot of the intercession is just so-and-so is going for tests tomorrow. Please bless them. So-and-so is sick. Please heal them. So-and-so has a big test tomorrow. Please help her do well. Those kinds of things. A lot of intercession is needs of personal people that I know and care about, but also greater global concerns. I don't pray through this list in its entirety every day. I certainly don't have that kind of time. I put little asterisks next to any need that I feel is important enough to pray for every day. And I try to pray for the remainder of the things on the list once a week so that every week everything on that list is being prayed for. After that, I have a section, tab number 4 is for family and friends. I have individual pages for my mom, for my brother, his wife, my nephew. I also have some individual pages for a couple of really close friends of mine and the child that I sponsor through Compassion International. On those individual pages, I have a verse that I pray for them and then any requests that I might have. Regularly, I add to the list and then I also highlight things that have been answered. I will pray through that entire page through the course of a week. Most of these people I do pray for daily. I don't pray for their entire list daily, but I do get through everything on their list throughout, usually within 6 to 8 days or so. And I do, there's a few people that I will consistently pray for in my family, people that are close to me that have needs that I'm burdened for. I will pray for them more often than, say, some of my friends or certainly the request on the intercession. After that section, number 5 is chapel requests. This is not people at the chapel. Those go under intercession, but this is generally big things going on, whether we're, right now I'm planning new Equip You classes or we're planning for Christmas. So I'm praying over things we're planning for. I pray for wisdom. I pray for a safety of our people. I pray for the growth of our church. I pray that specifically when it comes to growth, that people will grow spiritually. More than numbers, I want to see people change from the inside out. And I pray about that. I pray about events coming up that we have good attendance, that we have favorable weather, that those who are working and serving in those things would have their needs met so that the events would go well. I also pray for volunteers. I pray for the Sunday services. I pray for those in leadership. I pray for our elders and our stewards. And all of those go under the chapel. Tab number 6 is personal concerns. This is the only section of my binder that reads a little more like a journal. Most everything else are bulleted lists, and I add to them and take away, highlight things that are answered, and I pray down through lists. But my personal section reads a little more journal-like some days. Some days I make a list of, these are all the things I'm worried about right now, Lord, and I'll list them out. Other times it's more of a writing, as if I'm writing a letter to God and telling him some of the things on my heart. The personal section is one that I've struggled with over the years. I used to be really good at praying for other people, but I always felt like I should be able to handle my problems on my own. And of course, that's ridiculous. We need God to get through the day. And the older I get, the longer I live on this earth, and the more I work in a job where I serve other people, I know that it's really important to be taking my anxieties and my problems and my concerns and my stresses to the Lord. I carry a lot of burdens for other people, just naturally. In my job, I listen to a lot of really heartbreaking stories. I hear a lot of people's fears, and I try to encourage people, and to be able to carry those burdens with them, to be able to hold them up in prayer, to be able to minister to them, I really have to be able to give those things to God, and I let him help me carry them. Most all of them are too great for me. So my personal section can be quite a list of things that I'm handing over here. I need your help with this. I need your wisdom. I need your shoulders. I can't do this without you. Once I finish the personal section, I usually move over to my notebook, which is where I do my Bible study. I want to talk in greater length next week about some things about Bible study, so I'm going to do this somewhat briefly, but I have a specific reading plan that I follow, and I'll be telling you about that next week. I sit down and I jot down the reference and the title, if they've titled that day's plan, and I date it at the top of the notebook page, and then I read the whole passage through from beginning to end, whatever, you know, whatever the passage is, if it's a chapter or 10 verses or two chapters or whatever. I read it from beginning to end, and then I go back to the beginning and I start over again. And the second time I read through, I take notes. I note what stands out to me. I note the words I'm confused about. I make notes of things that kind of leap off the page. I write down phrases that really speak to me, or maybe even words that really have a good message to them. And I just kind of make notes as I go through the passage. I then read it through a third time, and the third time I read it through, I do a little more in-depth study. This is where I'll use one of the methods that I explained to you a couple of weeks ago. Most often, if I'm going to use a method like that, it will be the very basic approach that I gave you. How does this passage, what does this passage tell me about God? What does it tell me about humanity? And in light of those things, what should I do with the passage? What is it asking of me? And I will do that on the third part through. Other times, I use Modern Girls Bible Study questions from the book The Modern Girls Guide to Bible Study by Jen Hatmaker. I like some of the questions that she has, and after I finished the book, I typed up all of those questions in one sheet, and I keep that in tab number one in my notebook. I promised you I would let you know what that was. That's the reference, and I keep Bible study notes in there. I keep a lot of different reading plans sometimes, depending on what I'm currently going through. Anything that would help me study as a reference tool that I feel I should carry with me, I keep in that tab. So that third time through, I do a little bit more in-depth study. I just kind of begin to ask some questions of the text and write down my answers. I shared with you in the Bible study podcast, podcast number two, the importance of making sure that there's application. And if you were to look at my Bible study notebook, you would think that I don't do application because I don't write a lot of it in my notebook. There's a couple reasons for that. The first reason is that I like to be able to show my notes to people and share them. I have an Instagram account, and one of my favorite things to do on Instagram when I'm bored or when I'm sitting in traffic and, you know, there's an accident and you're just kind of stuck there, or if I'm at the doctor's office, or if I have a few minutes before a meeting and everyone's not there yet or something, I will take my phone, go into my Instagram account, and I will just type in Bible study or She Reads Truth, which is the name of the scripture passages that I read each day. And I just pour through what comes up in the search box, and I love to see other people's notes. I love to see what people are getting from the Bible. It makes me happy like ice cream makes some people happy. It just thrills my heart to know that people are opening God's Word and they're meeting Him there and they're seeing something for them. And I love it. And I love to be able to share my own. So if I put application on there, it's a little bit harder for me because sometimes I'm not ready to talk about an application. I feel like some things need some time to apply. Other things need, you know, I can't really apply that until I do something else. And so I don't like to share my applications with people until I process them, until I've had a chance to put them into practice. So by the time I share my application, whether it's in a speaking engagement or whether it's a class or a Bible study or even on the podcast, I've had months to work those out, and I've had a chance to actually really apply them, see what's involved. There's a cost sometimes when we begin to obey, and I want to work through that before I start talking about it. So that's a big reason that I don't put my application in there. It's just I need some time to process it, and also I want to be able to share my notes. I generally will put my application in my journal, and usually I write it at night. I think about it a little bit through the day. Sometimes the application might not even come until later in the week. Usually on Sundays, I sit down and I try to read through all of my Bible study notes from the previous week, as well as read through my journal. And you would be surprised how many times I see a theme that's kind of woven its way through what I'm thinking about and what God is speaking about. And then I will make an entry in my journal where I begin to talk about, you know, what am I going to do about this? How am I going to live this out? So that's where my application goes and is usually not a part of my normal Bible study and quiet time in the morning. It usually occurs in the evening or a few days later after I've thought about it a little bit. I will occasionally write questions down that will say, what would this look like? Or how could I live this out better? I don't answer them, I write them out because those are the things that I'm dwelling on in my head. And I will write a few little questions out sometimes at the bottom in light of application. But if you look at my Bible study notes, you won't see a whole lot of application in the notes that I post. I have two other sections in my quiet time binder. I use these a little bit sporadically, but they're both really fun. Tab number 7, I've just titled Knowing God. And in the past, I've had like a running list of things that I've learned about God. I've done, the question that says, you know, what does this teach me about God? What does this passage teach me about humanity? When I do that, I'll transfer sometimes the things I've learned about God to this section. What I've been doing recently, because I've been doing some book studies where I've read a book of the Bible from beginning to end, is I've waited until the study is over. The study that I do currently from She Reads Truth, they usually give you a grace day or two. That's for people to catch up or to kind of take a breather in the middle. And I'll take one of those grace days and I will read back through the entire notes from all the book that we just studied. And I will make an exhaustive list of everything I've written down that I've learned about God. And so I have a whole paper on the things that I've learned about God from the book of Hebrews. And I love to go back and just kind of look at them. God gives us grace and mercy in our time of need. The new covenant of Jesus is founded on better promises. The redemption of Christ is eternal and lasting. Christ will appear a second time. God is faithful to keep his covenant with his people. God is pleased by our faith. These are just a few of the 23 things I wrote down that I learned about God in Hebrews. A much smaller book, the book of Hosea, I wrote down 29 things. And I've already gone back to them and just read through them on days when I need a little bit of encouragement and days where I need to remember how big my God is and how gracious and how loving and how reliable and faithful he is. So I really love having that section in there, and I'm excited about being able to do that more with other books of the Bible and pretty soon just have this big list of everything the Bible has taught me about God. My last tab number 8, is on listening to God. I tend to jot down some things that I think God wants me to do. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that listening to God tab next week, because there's a big myth that goes on about, a lot of people will say, well, I just can't read the Bible because I get so distracted. And every time I try to pray, I think of all these other things. And we're going to talk about that next week. And I'm a little bit excited about that. So I'm going to tell you more about what I do in that tab in next week's podcast. When I'm finished my Bible study and I've transferred anything into the Knowing God section that I wanted to, I usually close with just a brief moment of prayer, thanking God for his word, for the truth that he showed me today. If there's an area that I feel like God is tugging at my heart to bring some application to, I usually just ask him to give me wisdom. Help me see what that looks like. Help me see how I can do that. And give me the wisdom to be able to do it right and do it well. And that's kind of how I end things. I'm usually at Starbucks for about an hour and a half most mornings, but I will say I do not spend an hour and a half on this particular process. This everything that I've mentioned to you there takes me about 40 minutes. And I'm pretty happy with that. I think 40 minutes is doable. And I think 40 minutes is doable for a lot of people. You might think maybe not you. We'll talk about timing next week, but I think 40 minutes is good. And I also do about 30 minutes of nonfiction reading. I try to do most every day on topics that relate to my own development, whether it's leadership or teaching, books on topics of interest to me, research books, just any kind of nonfiction that is kind of building into my life. And so I'll often do that at Starbucks, and that takes about a half an hour of my hour and a half. And then, of course, you need a few minutes to talk to the barista and get your coffee and everything. So all told, I'm usually there about an hour and a half in the mornings. And then I head off to my day. Some days I'll end it by going through my planner and kind of taking a look at what my day holds. But and incredibly busy, stressful days. In fact, the last 3 weeks of August, I ended my quiet time every day by praying through my task list. I had so many things to do, and so many of them were just, to me, fraught with peril. They relied on equipment that wasn't working the best, or they relied on other people to get me information. And I just prayed through every one of those tasks and just said, you know, Lord, let the copier keep running. Lord, you know, let me get that email on time. And I prayed through every task. So certain times when my workload is heavy, I will end by doing that as well. I found that to be very, very helpful. Okay, so that's my process. That's how I do it. I do not want you to run out and duplicate this exactly unless you're thinking that this would work for me and you'd like to give a few parts of it a try. What I do want to encourage you to do, though, between now and the next podcast is think a little bit about what your current quiet time is like, how much time you spend, when you do it, and what you do when you spend time with God. And think about what part of this is not working and what part of this do I want to make better. Because we're going to talk next week about crafting a time that works for you, crafting a way of a process that works for you. And in the process, I'm going to give you a whole lot of help in deciphering some of the common thought out there and a lot of the things that we hear as hard and fast absolutes when it comes to quiet time. And I hope we're going to have some fun debunking all of them. I have something special for you on the blog today. If you go to my personal blog, journalmoxie.com, I have something kind of fun for you to download. I always have the show notes on there each week, and your show notes this week are kind of slim because a lot of the things we talked about, I want to give you more details on next week, and then we'll have a lot more complicated show notes next week. So I do have the show notes on there, but in addition, I have a little something special for you. I have made a dozen Bible study and prayer worksheets that you can use in your own binder if you'd like to set up something for yourself. And what I've done is I've made them so that there's lines on them and a photo and a little box at the top for you to write your own topic in. Maybe you like the idea of a binder. Maybe that sounds really exciting to you. Maybe you think that would fit with me. I'm a writer. I like to write things down. I like keeping lists. And maybe this is something that works for you. But the tabs that I used are not of interest to you. Maybe you would have something different. Maybe you would have a tab for each family member or whatever you might come up with. So what I've done is I've created 12 different worksheets that are very basic. There's no headline. There's no title to them at all. There's a box at the top for you to put your own title in. And there's lines on the pages, and each page has a different color line, so you will have some color variety. And then each one has a photo on the front page. Now, the photos are all from my Instagram feed. I know a few of you have told me that you follow me on Instagram, and periodically I will put up a bunch of quotes and Bible verses done artistically that I make myself on my phone, and I pulled 12 of my favorite scripture, and I have made them, put one on each one of these sheets. So they are yours. They are free of charge. If you click the link, it will take you to a folder that opens up, and all 12 of them will be there. You can download the ones you want. You can download all of them if you'd like. I just ask that you not pass them on to other people. Direct them to my blog and have them download them for themselves. Once again, that's at journalmoxie.com, and you can get on there and help yourself to those. So I'll leave them up and that post up for a while so you can get them at any time. I also have other printables available on the women's ministry blog that I lead. And that's flourishministry.com. And there's a lot there, but those all have titles on them. Those are just my older sheets that I don't use anymore because I frequently change my design up every 4 or 6 months or so. You're welcome to download those as well, but these blank ones will only be available on my blog for the next few months, and then we'll move them over to the Flourish site after the first of the year. Just a little gift to say thank you for listening to my podcast and being faithful. I appreciate your feedback. I appreciate your encouragement. And I am really, really having a lot of fun. Okay, thanks for joining me today.
If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at tobiblegirl@icloud.com. That's tobiblegirl@icloud.com. I'm also on Twitter, Instagram, and Goodreads as Jessie L. Robinson, all one word. You can download today's show notes on my blog, www.journalmoxie.com. I hope you join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.